Here comes the payoff pitch. Swing and a drive, deep center field. Thomas going back, checking the wall, looking again, and it's gone. A blast to dead center for Corey Seager. His 15th home run of the year gives Texas a 1-0 lead.
The man is on fire. It feels like Matt Hicks is the good luck charm for the Rangers. All the play-by-play calls are just coming from him. A sweep of the Oakland Athletics taking care of business. Patrick Corbin, Wyatt Langford, also the heroes on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean and RJ with you. Seager is the only player now in baseball with an on-base streak of 24-plus games in each of the last three seasons.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
That was a laser. Laser to center.
He's doing something a little bit different. I think he's doing something a little bit different. When he's setting up for the pitch, he does one more little
He's changed his stance a couple times this year. Like, yeah. There'll be some games where he goes into it and he's half cocked. Yeah. Where he's much more open. And that could be a timing thing where he's doing the kind of the half cock you talked about. But some games he's more open, some games he's kind of square.
Does he lead baseball in the least amount of pitches seen?
So
he loves to swing it early. He loves swinging early in the count.
I was thinking of that yesterday. I'm like, man, does he ever take the fun out of his at bats? Sometimes, you know, when you go up there to the plate, you're like, I want to be up here for like four or five pitches.
Yeah. Some guys want to get like their pitch, right? They swing at their pitch, and then there's a lot of coaches who train early in the count. You know, the zone gets bigger, you know, with an 0-0 count. Like your zone is very, very small. And then with each strike, it kind of doubles.
So Seager, they created an entire metric over it. I think it was FanGraphs based on that concept of Seager swinging early in counts. They turned it into some acronym, but they called it Seager. And so the idea of it was just the guys who are best in Major League Baseball, a measurement of the guys who are best in Major League Baseball at swinging at their pitch and not worrying about where the count is or anything else. And so, yeah, he swings pretty much earlier than anybody else, but a lot of times he gets credit for it. It's because he identifies his pitch and he's not going to sit on it. He's going to swing when it's there.
Was Wyatt Langford's play the top highlight of the Rangers season? Who are the other candidates, Fantex?
Gosh. I mean, on the spot, I mean, it certainly is a candidate on the spot. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, probably. Like, I mean, it would stand out. I mean, Adolis hit a walk-off earlier this year. That was probably one of the bigger ones. But, I mean, yeah, that's going to stand out. It's not been a big year of, like, big-time memorable plays.
877-881-1053 for the different candidates. Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text line, and the KNC Masterpiece. Like we did with Brett Boone, asked a member of the Rangers coaching staff if they heard anything about the G-bag Rowdy Tellez interview, except they asked the big dog.
Did you by chance hear anything about his interview with our afternoon show yesterday?
No. Tell me about it.
No.
You know, they might have really focused on the weight as part of a lot of their interview questions, and I know he's a funny guy. I don't know if he totally loved all of those questions.
He seemed like a good dude. Yeah. He did a great job with it yesterday.
Yeah, no, he is. He's been great. He's been a nice addition.
Any more fallout from that yesterday? Wolchuk said he was apologizing, actually, for his co-host on Twitter. He's like, I didn't do anything, but the other guys.
Speaking of big guys.
They owe Rowdy an apology. Wolchuk's birthday today, and he's like, it was even more painful hearing the replay of it, which it always is.
Had yourself
is.
A brisket sando yet, Rowdy?
I'll tell you who had sort of the most defiant tone yesterday.
Oh.
It's not Dawson. It was Eric. Eric was like, he was talking, he's like, some of this reaction has been a little over the top. He's like, it was not good, but let's pull back on, like, this is some sort of, like, super negligent interview he did. He's like, did we meet our standard? No. He's like, but, he's like, this was not, like the worst interview of all time. It's like, you know, there were clipped out pieces of a 15-minute interview that made it sound more awkward than it was.
We played, like, five of the 15.
Yeah. If my contribution to the interview was, so you're from California and girthy as hell. I'd want to downplay the interview
To be fair, he didn't say like that. He just said that's the nickname. He's like, and here's why it ties in, right? Because earthquakes, California. It wasn't just like, so you're from California. That wasn't the setup.
Tap open the keg.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
We got a war of words going on, baby. Now we are, let's see. We are a month away from the start of college football.
Mm-hmm.
This is a month away, baby. Let's go. Rhett Lashley versus Paul Feinbaum, or versus, whatever you
want. More like Rhett Lash out. Am I right?
Rhett Lashlout. Lash out. So they had wrapping up media days around the country, and obviously, you know, Rhett and SMU are in the ACC. The Big Ten's got media days going on because that's in Big Ten country, Sean. It's in Las Vegas. All right, clearly Big Ten country there.
A lot of cornfields out there.
A lot of cornfields out there in Vegas. But for some reason, there's no audio of this. I looked. ESPN couldn't even find audio from this, from Rhett Lashley.
And they couldn't even find Cowboys practice video.
That's right.
How do you expect this?
But he said this about the SEC. He said the SEC has had the same six schools win the conference championship since 1964. Not a single one's different. That's top-heavy to me. That's not depth. So it's a little wrong.
SEC member Bobby Bell applauding.
No, not a member. Agent of change. That's why we're in there. We're there to change things.
It's a little
wrong. We're not there to join the cult. We're there to infiltrate.
It's a little wrong because you've had two that were stripped for cheating.
Well, doesn't sound like they counted.
But Paul Feinbaum decided, hey, you are speaking from the wrong pulpit to say that.
If I understand correctly, he's the head coach at SMU, Greeny. I bet you know where I'm going here. Yeah. 1987, you know what happened at SMU? They shut the program down. Well, he's making fun of the SEC for winning national championships all over the place. SMU's the most corrupt program in the history of college football. And Rhett Lashley has the nerve to get up there and throw stones. By the way, he played at Arkansas. That should have nothing to do with it. That's one of the most comical, embarrassing rants I have ever heard. And I'm glad the audio wasn't clear because I would have come right through that screen.
So the ACC, the ultimate top heavy, has had 8 of their last 10 champions be Clemson.
What does the SMU scandal have anything to do with this?
I don't know. I don't really know.
Tell me that, Mr. Potato Head. What does that have to do?
That's good. Mr. Potato Head, yeah. I've always thought he looked like the eraser end of a pencil. That's what
He does have a very small neck.
Propaganda for the SEC every single year, that man.
Well, now, it's not top heavy, though.
I agree. Rhett's, they're not even that good at the top anymore.
No, Rhett's wrong on that because no conference has. So the SEC has six different teams to have a national championship since 98. No other conference has two or more than two. And I'm leaving OU and Texas out of it because if they did, they would have 8. It's just basically if you've been in the those conferences since 98, no other conference is more than 2. That's not top heavy. If that's top heavy, what's everybody else?
I know, but he gave you even more than that. He gave you 60 years of data that says 6 teams win the conference title, and that's it.
Yeah, like I said, it's really 8.
That was back in the day. Like 1964 is when centers were going first in the draft, and like TCU was the number one team in the country.
Totally different era. Totally different world. So that's Paul Feinbaum number one. Paul Feinbaum number two is a complete... But every 6 months, if you were to go back on Twitter and just type in Paul Feinbaum, Lincoln Riley... You just type that in Twitter. Every 6 months, there is a random haymaker thrown from Paul Feinbaum to Lincoln Riley, and this week was no different.
But I want to say one thing before I go. The thing that I'm most excited about Big Ten Media Days is I want to hear Lincoln Riley try to explain his last 2 years, because I can't think of anybody whose coaching has been more fraudulent since his first year with Caleb Williams. And I say that as somebody who admired what Lincoln Riley did at OU. I didn't admire the way he left. But I really think, and I know a lot of people are still gnashing teeth in Norman and Oklahoma City and across that state, but I frankly believe the Sooner Nation is better off today than it would have been had he stayed around, because there is something wrong with this guy, Darian. I know we don't have time. I know we're at the end of the segment, but I did want to close on that note. I am underwhelmed, and I can't think of a coach in modern time who's making the kind of money that he's making who has done less.
Wow.
I mean, this is out of nowhere. Like, he was just like, hey, by the way, before I leave, let me just throw this shot at Lincoln Riley.
He's right. Lincoln Riley is as damaged a reputation, I feel like, in college football over the last couple of years. Like, there's no reason for the struggles at USC that are there. And a lot of it, the year that they came, the first year he was in there, when that was one of the most talented teams in the country, a big chunk of the reason why they lost was Alex Grinch calling their defense and being in charge of their defense, and just Lincoln Riley refusing to do anything other than, like, buddy hires there. And he is a tyrant, apparently, with his programs. Whether it's Oklahoma or USC, he can be a little bit of a nut. So that's one thing Feinbaum got right.
I feel like Feinbaum is today's Jim Rome, where if someone grabbed his scrangly neck and threw him around a room, I would understand it. I'm flirting with saying I would support it. I'm not saying I would support it, but I would get it. He's okay. Today's Jim Rome with Chris Evert.
I think that's why Jim Rome grew the goatee, was because he didn't have it when Jim Everett kicked his ass, and he doesn't want people to recognize him when you go back and look at that video.
It is the college football kegger here at 105 Through the Fan. One more bit of audio from Media Days. This is Ryan Day. Now, Ohio State just won the national championship.
Oh, God.
But do not tell Ryan. This is, oh, my God. This will make you barf. Do not tell Ryan Day that they have to defend anything.
You know, we've said it before. We're not defending national champions because we're not defending anything. You know, they can't take the trophy away. We're looking to attack and win a championship with this team. And so that started in the offseason, and it's continuing in through July. I think we've had a great offseason, but now we need to have a great August as we head into this first game against Texas.
He is right. I mean, they didn't defend their own field last year when Michigan came in. Ryan Day was off to the side as Michigan players were driving flags into the field. And
it's always been Ohio against the world.
Now, he didn't say it in that clip, but the headline turned into Ryan Day says, we're not defending national champions, we're attacking national champions. I don't know if that's unfair to him, because that's such a douchey thing to think and say, but I didn't hear him say it in that clip, so yeah. I'm trying to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, the headline is... The headline is very misleading, but yeah, he did say, we're not defending it, they can't take it away from us. Now listen, Ryan, we agreed to this terminology, and I am obviously team adapt or die, but we agreed to this terminology 100 years ago. You are the defending national champions. The Rangers were the defending World Series champions even after they had missed the playoffs the following year.
Jalen Hurts did something douchey like this yesterday, yeah, where he said he didn't even put on the championship ring. He didn't wear it because I moved on to the new year. It's as simple as that. And he was hanging out with Michael Jordan in the offseason, and Jordan advised Hurts and the Eagles not to speak in terms of a repeat. So can you... Who has gotten the championship ring and never taken it out to put it on their finger? Has that ever been done in history?
No, one person comes to mind who I bet would have done this. Joe Mazzulla. I don't really wear jewelry. It seems kind of impractical. Yeah,
this is so Jalen Hurts either backed himself into a corner. Either he's a liar or a fraud.
Yes.
He is one of the two. Either he's a liar and he did put the ring on, or he's a fraud because this is a fraudulent thing to say, I do him under the next year. Under the next year. It's just what those hardos want to hear up there.
It's almost like we've heard he's a fraud.
College football kegger and a Ranger recap on DFW Sports Station as the loaded week continues here on Sean and RJ. We have another concert ticket giveaway to hook you up with. Neighborhood Watch at 7:40, the most local segment in radio. And Nick Eatman from California in the final hour of the program. But yesterday, Bobby Belt is going to play for you why he fell in love with CeeDee Lamb all over again. The commercial-free expressway on the home of the Dallas Cowboys is next. Hey, good morning to one Michael Bassick, who texted me and said, when are you talking Cowboys? I have a long drive this morning to go play golf. How did the third string center do in walkthrough yesterday? So there's the old Mikey training camp sarcasm leaking through.
Absolutely love it. I wonder where he's playing golf. I do wonder.
I asked him, where are you driving? He said, I got a long drive, so Let me know when the baseball happens. I said 6-7, top of every hour so far.
He misses. He misses being able to like put in those little barbs on the air. He misses them being there in real time. That's what he misses more than anything else, I think. It's just the ability to be sarcastic and jab people live on the air.
Jab. We are commercial free with the Expressway every day at this time with a concert ticket giveaway and the Neighborhood Watch coming up at 7:40. We are inside the Star here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. And, of course, our training camp coverage is brought to you by on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar.
All right, so let's listen to what CeeDee Lamb had to say yesterday. He was really, really good. He got a lot of praise from the media for a lot of really honest and open answers at the podium. Spent 20 minutes up there talking and covered a lot of different subjects relating to his own game, expectations for the season, his celebration with George Pickens. But he did get into kind of the meat and potatoes of a lot of the questions surrounding the Cowboys right now. And the biggest one that's come out since they got to Oxnard is this building tension now between Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones. CeeDee Lamb, your thoughts on that?
Being in this situation, obviously playing this media game with Jerry is not the best. It's not fun. It's not recommended. But as for Micah, he knows what he brings to this table. Honestly, for this team, for himself, and he should get what he deserves. And I'm not indulging in any of the craziness that they got going, but I do want Micah to get paid soon.
So when he says it's not recommended, don't get involved in that. Do you think that's a recommendation for like, bro, you can't win a media battle with Jerry? Or do you think it's like, don't go play in that area because it's just a bad look?
I think he's just more saying it's a headache. It's going to cause you stress. You know, it's going to remember that video of Lamb when some Jerry shot came out and wasn't he driving a car and like banged his fist or something, or he was, you know, is it exacerbated?
Yeah, exacerbated. Yeah. It made it bigger, made it worse. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's just trying to say, I don't think he's trying to warn him, because at the end of the day, I asked this the other day, it's a bigger topic, but I was like, when does a star demand a trade out of here? When does someone say, screw you, man, I'm out, get me out of here, I'm demanding a trade? And then Tolo, Drew, and others put it best. They go, why would they? They know they're going to get paid at the top of the market and be set for life. And that's why Micah shouldn't be worried about a war of words. Although I will say this, here's my latest 14th take on this whole saga. Now it feels like it's not about the terms. It's really about Micah the person. This leadership thing, I was pushing off to the side and saying, whatever, stop. What are you judging him by, OTA attendance, minicamp attendance, whether he's going to show up on the field in Oxnard? I'm starting to think I have like a 5% chance in my brain that Mike Florio could be correct, that they try to have Micah Parsons play 5%, play this out as is with the $24 million guaranteed, that they really want to evaluate him as a person. And this isn't about guaranteed money, and this isn't about average salary per year. It is, yo, your running buddy right now is our number one black sheep of the organization in Trayvon Diggs. Are you going to become him? We're going to judge you by the company you keep. What's going to happen once you get paid? You're already talking early retirement. So now I'm starting to shift my thinking from this being about money to character.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it would not... Nothing's crazy.
Anything's possible.
I hate that the company you keep thing, you know, like.
Well, I'll say this, and Sean talked about it last year. This last year's been solid. He was a problem for them in a lot of ways the first couple of years. So there is a history there that maybe they feel like, I don't know that I believe the change yet. So I will say it may not just totally be company you keep. It may also just be, We don't know if we've built up enough confidence here yet.
Yeah, I think half of this is they're still upset that they feel that he backed out.
That's kind of what Schefter said yesterday with us.
We had an agreement, and then you decided to get the agent involved, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is kind of the rule.
Yeah.
Yes.
right? It's there's rules for this, right? You can't.
And even if it's not a rule, man, like Jerry Jones should be understanding of a young player with his life-changing deal getting the final. Okay, he agreed to it in the moment. You know, am I going to hold it against you because you had a final conversation with your agent who said, hang on, hold up? Come on, man. You're negotiating with 25-year-olds,
yep.
Dude.
Jerry's that old school type, you know, backroom negotiator, handshake deal. Don't get all the people involved that don't need to be involved. That's how he's approaching this.
You know,
and that's the wrong way to go.
You know how Maverick fans, there's a portion of them. There you go, Mike. Something you're interested in listening to. Although, never mind. Mike quit the match. He's back with Cooper Flag. You know, Maverick fans were like, I want them to lose so Nico doesn't get rewarded.
Yep.
I wonder if we did a poll question, and I'm not suggesting to do it because people will say, oh, you're trying to create headlines. I'm just thinking out loud here. I wonder how many would vote on Micah demanding a trade in order to hurt Jerry. Like, would you support Micah Parsons? Because the evil part of my brain, the evil shoulder of mine is saying, I wish he would just ask. I wish he would demand a trade. Now, it would hurt the Cowboys. It would hurt us. It would hurt our ratings. It would hurt the season. But just to, like, have Jerry Jones take a big fat L, unless it'd be better for the organization, but how many are just rooting so hard for Micah in this position that they would understand and support him demanding a trade because they would understand a Cowboy star finally not wanting to put up with this.
I mean, they might understand. At the end of the day, they want the player. You know, they want the player. Cowboy fans at the end of the day are like, I think to me they're the only group of fans in DFW that cares more just about the win loss than how the team is. I think in general, you want to like the players on the Rangers. You want to like the players on the Mets, first and foremost. I mean, you want them to win too, but like you want them to be your guys. I don't think they care when it comes to the Cowboys.
Florio has another prediction, ProFootballTalk.com. Although the CBA is structured to make it much harder for a player to walk out after he shows up, they can put you on the retirement list and take away your full salary for the year. You're done. They put you on the retirement list for the year. If Micah Parsons walks out right now, he would have 5 days to return. That's what the CBA says. But Florio says he may have to do it in order to get the best possible deal. If he doesn't, Jones will lowball him. And if Micah doesn't take the last best offer, the Cowboys will kick the can until 2026. If that happens, Micah should demand a trade after the season to a team that will pay him what he's worth and that won't use the inevitability of injury against him. Meanwhile, Cowboy fans, is it really a mystery as to why your team hasn't made it to the title game for 30 years and counting?
Does any part of you, like I was yesterday, wonder if he planned on practicing until he heard Jerry talk? And then he's like, well, I can't leave. I've already shown up.
Right.
But I'm not going to practice now.
I don't know. Good question.
Because I kind of wonder if he just wouldn't have shown up if this would have occurred before he had actually arrived.
Right.
It clearly bugged him.
Or if he would have stepped out there. Yeah. Because all this lovey-dovey stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, let me sit next to him in the suite. Let me find him in Vegas. We're hanging out together. Calling. Buddy buddies. What happened when the negotiating time came around, it's like he backstabbed me.
Oh, years ago, so a few years back.
Both of them probably feel that way.
6 weeks before Randy Gregory hit free agency, they were talking to him about like, hey, you're kind of going to be our priority. We view you as one of our leaders. This is what we think, yada, yada. They got into negotiation time, and it all of a sudden flipped to a completely different discussion. And so there is a little bit of, that's been their history before negotiations where it's they will build somebody up generally when they're in a comfortable position. But then as soon as the negotiation time comes, they're going to walk around the car and go, oh, there's a ding there. You got to take off $1,000 for that. I don't like that. That's how they approach their negotiations with everybody. It's just they do it more intensely than some others. Now, Micah Parsons is not practicing yet. He did show up. CeeDee Lamb, do you think missing camp last year hurt you?
At first, I didn't. I didn't believe it, but obviously I was a little oblivious to the truth. I will be honest. It's just I can be as strong, as fast, as explosive as I want to be, but if I can't control it to where Dak understands how explosive or how in and out my breaks I can be, I think I did that essentially just for me. And it's not never just for me. I have to do things to his tailoring, essentially. Just making sure that he's seeing the right things. He's seeing my breaks, it's defined routes. It's small things, man. It's critiquing myself, not slipping on some of the routes, just having my foot right, things of that nature. So, like, just being available for my team and being here, being able to lead, being able to tell guys right from wrong, things of that nature. Like, I feel like the small things that I could have done last year, obviously not being here because of my situation, but that's neither here nor there. I got it done. I'm happy to be here. I'm able to lead my troops again. It's good.
What a fascinating answer. I never thought of the player and his own athleticism increasing, matching up with the quarterback, right? Dak doesn't know how much faster I am. Dak doesn't know if I'm a step slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard anyone explain it like that. That's why CeeDee Lamb sitting down with us, hopefully next week, will be just as good.
That's something where, yeah, because he talked about it where it's, he said, he almost positions it a little bit there like, was there any, not selfishness, but like I ended up doing stuff just to improve me. And then, like you say, it does fall into a broader context of like, well, they don't know who you are right now then. They don't know what leaps you've taken or anything else if you haven't been there to put in the work. And it sounds like something he wasn't totally aware of.
No. Here okay. we go.
No. Listen.
RJ, right. Tell CeeDee Lamb why he's wrong about his personal experience.
I'll tell you exactly why he's wrong. Because him and Dak all off season hang out and throw together.
CeeDee sat out a lot of those.
Oh, on the Dak the Dak yard, in the Dak yard, CeeDee sat away, or wherever they go in the off season together on these trips. You know, the West Coast, they go for a week. They go for a week, every single time a player has brought up how missing camp hurts them, never in the history have they. It's because they've gotten better athletically. It's because they lost stamina, they lost some of the ability or injury
so
risk.
Doesn't that prove exactly what you're saying? That like doesn't that disprove what you're trying to say?
No, not
is
at
that
all.
CeeDee's
all
telling
of a sudden
you
he got better.
CeeDee's telling you all the things that he got better with, and he's saying it didn't matter because I lost everything that I'm supposed to have in terms of chemistry.
This
it,
could be your most arrogant take of
it's
all
not
time.
Arrogant.
How you're literally telling us how another player feels physically. That is so arrogant.
It's not arrogant. I just don't appeal to authority. I just don't do that. What he's doing here, he placed the blame somewhere else. I didn't have a great year last year or whatever, which he did have a great year, because I obviously, couldn't have been me. It had to be because Jerry didn't give me the contract.
He did say him. He said, I wasn't here to show them that I didn't do enough to show Dak. He said, I need to tailor to Dak.
If he had said, look, this is why I got hurt, yada, 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 I could actually buy that. But the simple fact that he said the one guy who doesn't know him any better is Dak. Are you kidding me? These guys they never spend a day apart. They're always practicing together. You trying to tell me that Dak was the one that didn't know him?
All right. Well, then let's say, CeeDee, if this did hurt you, give us some evidence. When did you realize missing camp
Cooper,
hurt?
If he had said Cooper Rush, yes, I would have bought that.
When did you realize Not missing Dak. Camp hurt?
Honestly, it was during the San Fran game. I want to say the first half. That's when I was like, wow, everything that I was doing, it was really just for me, honestly, just making sure that I was in the best shape that I could possibly be in for my team. Not that I was in the best shape with my team, for my team, with the guys that I love, you know? So, I did all I could do to be available. Granted, it worked out, but I like small things.
Those small details, that when everybody's athletic, when everybody's good, do you disagree that details are a lot of times where teams win?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, if CeeDee's telling you, like, I wasn't involved in any of the details.
I understand that from that perspective. But, like, again, what I'm saying is, like, CeeDee and Dak together, everything got thrown around because with the Cooper Rush situation. But CeeDee and Dak together, those two guys don't need camp together to get to know each other. They are together all off-season throwing.
What game was it? Was it Baltimore where CeeDee's on the sideline again barking at Dak and they're going at each other? Probably related to a lot of this. Hey, I'm there. I can do it. Well, I don't know that you're there. Or I don't see it that way. Like, those are the kind of things where that probably was a hang-up where he felt like Dak didn't understand what he was capable of doing and Dak felt like, you don't understand where we're at as a team right now.
So just for the record, if Zach Martin or any player says, no, I couldn't replicate the training camp practices, or I think I got hurt during the season because I wasn't at camp. What do you buy of that, and what do you dismiss? Where do you find it credible when a player says hurting can't miss me.
I would find it credible
or
with,
hurt me.
I mean, I would find it more credible 30 years ago, 50 years ago, when they used camp to get in shape. These guys don't use camp to get in shape. If you were hurt in the offseason and then you missed camp, absolutely. You know, if you had a new team would do that too. I don't know. I just think that I think it's just a convenient thing when people say, I miss Cam. That's maybe why I'm hurt. Maybe it is why you're hurt. I don't know if that's why you're hurt or not. I would think that guys are in shape in the NFL, especially guys at that level.
Do you think it more hurts them from a conditioning standpoint or like a playbook standpoint if they miss?
I think it would miss more conditioning, maybe.
Okay. Do you even think they should have training camp? Do you even think they
should? I think training camp. I think training camp is like, I know it's too long. It's a waste of time.
The whole thing's a waste of time. Like they shouldn't even are you saying they shouldn't practice like at camp?
No, they should practice, but I think it doesn't
like in the Dallas Cowboys
weeks. It doesn't be 6 weeks. What I'm saying, you
six
know what
weeks.
I mean? You know, like they keep shrinking the preseason games. They used to have 6 preseason games. Then they went to 4, and they'll be at 2 in no time. They keep shrinking it, so they don't even think it's important anymore.
They don't think preseason games are important. They think the training camp ramp up is.
There's obviously an advantage to ramp up, but you know every baseball player will tell you spring training is too long. The pitchers need it. The hitters don't. The hitters are ready in 2 weeks. For the pitchers, they do need it. Yes.
I don't know. I mean, there is a lot of.
It's amazing you didn't make it as a college golfer with this practice.
There's a lot of
all these hard working habits.
Practice is. It was not meant for me. I was not meant for practice.
Practice is for tryhards, not naturals.
While you're taking your kids to Bassick's dad to train and practice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Once every quarter.
Not a new team, but it is a new culture here in Dallas. CeeDee Lamb, give us your thoughts on the new culture.
I feel like this whole year, like everything that all the moves that we made in this offseason changed this culture. Not saying the culture that we didn't have, like that we had last year or the years prior, because Mike had a great situation going on. Obviously, it didn't pan out the way that we wanted, but Shotty came in and he's wanting us to compete literally every single day. It doesn't matter what we do. We wake up, get ready to compete as soon as we get in the team meeting room.
That's clearly the underline. Like culture has been the big push. The sub headline all offseason has been competition. Compete. That clearly is one thing he's driving.
But what happened the other day is why Clarence Hill and Calvin Watkins have been mocking this culture stuff the whole offseason. They just mock it. And it irritates me when they do it because Jerry Jones got up there for an hour and showed you what the culture could actually mean or how fast he could sit there and detonate it.
Or what he's showing you or what Shotty's trying to do is show you the reason why culture is so important is so you can sustain that. Like that's one of the things that you try and work and underline, and maybe something that, hey, in the past, when Jerry's taking these shots at CD, I haven't felt like being in the building. The culture was where it needed to be able to handle that. Yeah. And we're trying to do that now. Last one. This is a short clip here. CeeDee Lamb does give a warning for NFL teams.
I feel like the league knows what happens when I'm healthy and I have Dak for a whole season. But if you don't, I will happily show you what it's going to be like this year. Honestly, I'm a dominant receiver. I don't like to speak highly of myself, but I can't wait to show you guys.
So he's ready. He's got lots of confidence. He was great yesterday, and I'm sure he'll be great with us next week when he joins us out in Oxnard.
You're hyping this up a lot, Bobby. Yeah.
That's two times I've said it. It's just I'm trying. I did.
Your heart set on it. We've already had our souls crushed twice by the KNC masterpiece mm-hmm. with Overshown and Milton.
Bront is my boy. I very specifically put in the email, I said, the reason why we got it so quick, I put in the email, I said, hey.
Got it so quick. Our email was like a week late.
CeeDee Lamb is our number one. So please, if he does the station, do not let any of the other shows have him. And then he texted and said, you guys got Lamb.
877-881-1053 is the number for the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Also the number to call to win these.
Must be doing something right.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call on number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see Billy Currington and Kit Moore on Friday, August 1st at the Pavilion at the Toyota Music Factory. That's call on number 10 at 877-881-1053.
This guy's giving me a John Party feel, and where I didn't necessarily like know his name instantly, every song you've played this week, I'm I love the song. This is a great song.
This is the song that turned me over to country. This is the one. And
I've never heard this song.
Oh my gosh, that is a great song. I wore out his greatest hit CD about 15 years ago. Got played a ton. Yeah. I mean, that song's from 98 or something. That's an old song. But he's fantastic.
It's Sean and RJ brought to you by Treeline by Hillwood, a stunning new master plan community in Justin, Texas, Reliant AC, and of course, Wild Fork Foods, wildforkfoods.com, Elite, game day grilling favorites. Let's get local.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Maybe Peyton Russell's on to something with location sharing. Also, try to avoid the war zones in Deep Ellum is a warning from police right now. We'll get into all that here in just a second on Neighborhood Watch. First, we're going to go to our Facebook community group post of the week from the city of Louisville. And this is a little bit of this isn't specific necessarily to DFW. This is a common problem that you could run in anywhere, but it was discussed here in Louisville. And I'm curious how you would handle this, specifically you, Chop.
All right.
They say this person who posted on there said, yesterday my grandson, and you can throw the picture up on the fan cam. Yesterday my grandson went next door to ask for a soccer ball that went over the fence. The older lady told him, okay, still no ball. I peeked in their yard and realized there are 7 balls over there of theirs just sitting away. Like they've collected them and put them up against a wall. Says, I didn't realize it was that many. The boys have asked now several times. I understand that it might be annoying to have them playing in our yard and hitting your fence, but really, you can't just toss them back. She said that they've now taken a note because they're getting involved. Now they've taken a note. They waited for their car to be back. Husband went next door. They didn't answer. So they left a note asking for the balls to be sent over the fence, and they are now going to see what happens next.
Are all 7 balls theirs?
Yeah, but like they're all of their balls, and they're on like this rack that's up against the
wall.
You can see it on the fan cam right now. That's the picture they posted.
Whoa.
Wow, this is fascinating on what to do.
What part of town was this?
Louisville.
Man, those sketchy fighting farmers, man.
hey, the state champion fighting farmer from 1996.
This is where you just take it upon yourself. You just go in the backyard.
Man.
Which we do all the time. So
that sounds like the beginning of a Dateline episode.
You're tight with your neighbors.
The neighbor behind me, I've never seen. The shades are always drawn. I'm told it's a single mother and a child. No idea how old. No idea if the child's a boy or a girl. I've never seen it. The shades are always drawn. No one ever comes outside. Literally ever. I've never seen the garage door open. So.
You've gone in that yard?
We've tried to go. We've knocked on the door. Nobody answers.
And for what?
For the balls that go in the backyard.
The ball.
And, you know, we try to open the gate. They got a lock on the gate. And I'm like, and that's one of the things. You could tell, like, what part of town my neighbor says, you could tell what part of town you grew up in, whether you have a lock on your gate or not. Because it's something that you learn from childhood.
Yeah.
The lock on the gate.
Never had a lock.
Right? So.
I should have in my last house.
Should have. So, we just now, I'm not climbing fences anymore. I'm 45 years old.
No.
I gave that up at 40. So, Sarah will hop the fence, go get the ball. Or Julian, hop the fence, go get the ball.
I'm not doing that, but I don't know what to do here.
The fan text right now is all saying jump the fence. They're saying jump the fence and go get it. Like you did ask for.
What if your kid gets shot?
I know. Well, then I don't know.
Well, then they go to jail.
Or there's a Rottweiler. Well, and then you're minus
so
one.
So we always this is so.
Well, you gotta have a replacement child. Okay, you gotta have a replacement kid.
When I was growing up, our backyard was like the one that was set up in the neighborhood that was the most like amenable to a wiffle ball game or whatever else, just because of like it had the way it was set up, you could like clearly like stake out a field from it. And so we always used to get the ones who it was always us hitting balls over into people's yards or games that were being played in our backyard. And I remember we jumped over somebody's fence one time. This old man who was just bitter, we jumped over his fence, grabbed one of the balls, and jumped right back. And next time we were out in the backyard, he like yelled for me to come over. And I walked over. I was like, what is this about? So I walked up to him and he's like, the next time I see one of you bleeping kids jump my fence, I'm going to beat your ass. And
whoa!
I was like wow. 10. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But we used to, it was always jump, run as fast as you can so you don't get seen and jump back over. But it was always a panic when it's like, I don't want to. You would have to rotate. Your turn to get the ball. I'm not getting that.
But to have, I can't stop looking at the fan cam, to have a rack
of balls.
It's not even like the balls are like, you can't even give them the excuse of they just haven't gone out there. The balls are scattered. They're gathered.
Yeah.
They scattered. They're gathered. And they're collected here. What if I put up a net on my side to show sign of compromise?
Put a net, giant net up.
I know it's annoying. Now they'll say it's an eyesore. I plant a tree. I know it's annoying. Our apologies. We need to do something to prevent. Now give us the balls back. Maybe that type of idea. Yeah.
Would the city allow you to have, like, because I remember, like,
HOA?
This came up again in one of our baseball games. Somebody on the other side.
Where are you coming up with all these imaginary friends? You had to be in homeschool.
Neighbor.
Like, what, a Teddy on third? Kangaroo on second?
I wasn't ducking the gangsters in the hard streets of Maryland. We had sandlot games, okay? No, but somebody across from us, the city had come by and they got cited because they just had built their fence like a foot too high or something like that. So, is netting different? Like even without an HOA, is the city going to come through and just be like, you can't have netting?
And
up?
Let me reverse this, because I know everyone's just going to kill the Scrooges who aren't giving the balls back. Man, how annoying would this be? How often would this have to happen for this to be really, really annoying, for the ball to consistently? You got to go in the backyard once a day. Is it twice a week? How annoying if you don't go in your backyard all the time.
My neighbor's kids hit the ball in our backyard all the time. It's in the pool constantly, and they always just.
Why don't you guys? So no aiming in a different direction. Why does it always have to go that way?
I don't know. It's just never thought of it like that. Sometimes they do go the other way, but they overthrow. Or they overthrow, right? And I don't mind. It goes in the backyard, and I mean, I'm sure I did this when I was a kid. I can't get too mad at them, but I finally said, guys, just come in the backyard. Come in the backyard yourself.
The answer here is just to be richer and have a bigger yard.
Yeah, you could do that. 616, as a federal police, you could get shot if you jump. He said, but legally won't hold up for simply jumping a fence. You get the ball, they get jail time. Win-win. I guess he's saying a win-win is you get shot, because, well, they get jail time. So.
This is a great one. We need a better solution here.
Let's see here. What's some of the fan text saying? 956, they're kids. Let them play outside. Let them get the ball. 903, let's be thankful kids are outside. 817, depends on the city, but netting is likely not approved fencing material. And they said, 817, where did the parents think all the balls were going and why they had to keep buying them balls? So these are grandparents. And so that's the thing. It can't be every day, because it sounds like these are just grandkids going over to play there every now and then. But it's not like they live.
Sounds like
there.
Your kids need to take up a different sport because they suck at soccer.
Or they got cannons for legs.
That's right.
Just shooting it over
Look
the fence.
Look out,
there.
Aubrey.
So when you say, why not go the other way? One of the other things that goes into that is like, I remember one of the sides that we didn't play on the other side because the fence was like a chain length fence and the other was up high. And so it's like we knew the ball wasn't going to sail over as easy if we were going over there.
Got a potential neighbor issue with my other neighbor on the other side of me. He's just a complainer, right? So we go out there in the backyard or the side yard, and I constantly see him looking through the window, like make sure we're not like standing on his grass. And I'm like, bro, it's your parkway. It's not even your grass, it's the city's grass. Just chill. We had Pudge out there and he pooped on his parkway. And he comes running out. He's like, are you going to pick that poop up?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I am. When I'm done playing, I'm going to pick it up.
Oh.
You know, like, he goes, well, I want it done now. I want it done now. And I'm like, we'll get to it. We'll get to it, man. Just relax.
Wow. You're not Mr. Confrontation yet. You got that. You're going after KNC. You're becoming a different
angry
animal.
Today.
He gave me a bad look one day. He gave me a bad look one day. He doesn't like that I parked the car on the side.
Okay, so we're doing Neighborhood Watch here on 105.3 The Fan. One last one here. 214 says, my neighbors won't allow our kids to get their balls. So if a ball goes over the fence, it's there until the neighbors get home and they get thrown back once a day. If they already did it once, they have to wait until the next day. Is that a decent compromise?
Once a day? That's annoying.
Like, I know, but I'm just saying, like, if they're willing to do that, say, I don't want you in my backyard, but once a day, I'll go out there and I'll throw them back if I see them.
Yeah, that's a win for whoever's losing the ball. You're getting it back once a day? That's probably asking too much from the people coming home.
Yeah, so, I mean,
depends how often you go outside. Like, I don't go in my backyard really during the week.
I understand you don't want to set a precedent of anybody just jumping into your backyard and give it, but I would generally think, just go get it. Like let the kid get it, or just like it. come knock on the door, we'll go get it. Like or something like that. All right, Neighborhood Watch here on 105.3 The Fan.
Buy them a gift.
Yeah.
Buy them something super nice and say apologies for this.
Yeah, like for something like this, I wonder, it's like, did a window break or something at some point. Now they're just like, you're not getting these balls back. I'm keeping
tree
them.
Bark shattered a window.
Something. Speaking of Peyton Russell and his location sharing ways that he does with McKenzie, yes. they share their location. It could get you saved, apparently, according to police. So a third-party location sharing app is being praised for rescuing a woman in Fort Worth. Just before midnight on Monday, Fort Worth police say a gas station clerk at Penny's on East Berry Street was kidnapped at gunpoint. Fort Worth police say there are two victims in this case, the female clerk who was kidnapped and another gas station employee who tried to step in and stop the suspect. When officers got to the scene, witnesses gave police a partial license plate along with a description of the suspect in the car. But what actually helped was one of the witnesses at the scene was a friend of the victim, and they had her location on an iPhone third-party app. The police tracked the victim's phone to the Sunset Motel off Mansfield Highway. The victim was unharmed in the passenger seat. 25-year-old Freddie Banks was arrested and faces charges of aggravated kidnapping and aggravated assault. So we've talked about couples, but like Peyton, I think you also said your friends have your location a lot of times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, ensembles, all five of us, we all have a location.
So this would say that you can, this would save you. The location sharing. If you would just share your location with your friends, with your boys.
You stalkers, you location stalkers who have nothing better to do than be nosy, and you have nothing better to do. Now, if you're tracking your kids, I get it. License, new car. But my brother tried to reverse this on me when I went home to Maryland. This is what Peyton would do. Well, why don't you just share it? What are you hiding? They spin it. They've twisted it on you.
Uno reverse card on you.
Yeah, it's a reverse Uno. You must be playing Uno a lot lately. You're referencing that a ton. And he's like, well, what do you have to hide? Why wouldn't you just do it? Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm like, screw you.
Kids share with their friends. They all share.
But why? Why you and the Los Hombres have each other's locations? For what?
How often do you look at it?
Give me the practical. Well, no one's ever going to tell the truth about that. But why do you have their location, your boys?
So because my friends have and I'm not going to call them out, but there's some that will say, oh yeah, I'm leaving. I'm on my way to the party or whatever. I'll be there in 15 minutes and they haven't left their house yet. So I use it for that. Now, I mean, I'm not like constantly checking their location.
Surveillance Peyton over here.
What, are you mad because the ice is melting at the party?
Yeah, dude, be on time. I hate people that are late to parties. I hate it, dude. No, there's no reason to it. Just we have the ability. We're close. We trust each other. Like, we're going to do it. I've never once like pin their location and said, all right, I'm going to drive to go see you because you're 10, 15 minutes away.
Be honest now to RJ's question. During a week, how often will you look at one of their locations? How often do you go and check the locations per week?
Twice, three times.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Isn't that a lot? I can see if you're all going to a boys trip or you're going to another city and you're like spreading Oxnard. Out.
If we're out, if we're walking around, like it might make sense where is somebody? They're not answering the phone. Let's say, okay, they're over here. They're just not answering the phone.
Like Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're checking it twice a week and they're all in the Metroplex? That's weird.
No, just when checking on my boys.
It's when they're on vacation. Like, I think last week, at least last week, we had everyone different state. Everyone was in a different state.
I see you're in Seattle, John.
Like, what do you need to know that for?
Like, isn't it Snapchat that does it anyway? Like, automatically?
No, you gotta turn it on.
Ghost mode.
Oh, you gotta turn it up. Yeah, Sarah's got all her friends. They all have each other's. They never look at it. They never look at it. So I don't know, like, what the point of...
That's what they say.
I mean, I see Sarah. Yeah. I see Sarah. She does, I mean... She's always like sitting next to me on the phone. She never looks at it.
But what's the point of having it?
I don't know. I don't know.
No idea. All right, there it is. The Neighborhood Watch every Thursday at this time. Commercial-free expressway with a Billy Currington ticket giveaway. You know that we are obsessed with the Cowboys and America's team, as Mike Bassick will tell you. But what about the rest of the National Football League? These guys are going to go off on a number of topics around the rest of the league, including an O.J. Simpson parking spot. And RJ says, thank you, New York Giants, for continuing to suck. Around the rest of the NFL after this.